Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Deanne Penn at United Nations headquarters in New York. Coming up in this week's program, sexual and reproductive health is a human right, says a young activist from Ghana. And UN Women helps the Mexican capital to tackle sexual harassment in public transport. But first, in order to create a lasting peace in Syria, women need to have a seat at the policy-making table, a peace activist from the country has said. Mariam Jalabi is director of the Syrian National Coalition's office at UN headquarters in New York. She took part in a recent UN panel discussion on the role of women in promoting peace and economic development in the war-torn country. Ms. Jalabi spoke to Lucy Dean first about the role of the media in promoting understanding of the war.
There's so much violence that's happening on the ground that is at the hands of the whole international community. What are they doing to stop all of this? It seems like a Syrian life does not count. There are three people that were killed from the terrorist attack in London. There were about 150 people that were killed in Raqqa at the same time. No news, no nothing about them. People are getting killed every day in Syria in that manner. It's just mind-boggling.
What role does the media have in addressing this?
What the media can do is go down to the basics of it, that these are human beings. Take a name of a person. There are a few stories that you can bring out. I think there are more of that that needs to be brought out by the media, how this war is influencing the everyday existence of people, the refugees, the women who are incapable of feeding their children, the lack of milk inside Syria. I think the story has to come out more as not, oh, it's an international crisis or it's complicated. Oh, we don't understand. I think it can go down to the human level.
What's the link between having women in policy-making positions and leadership positions and peace?
Women are Syrians, and all Syrians need to be making decisions for Syria. All Syrians. And women's participation in a meaningful way in any of the work that's being done for Syria guarantees that you have all of the Syrians included, that their rights are included. Women's rights are human rights. If women are not present, then you're missing a big chunk of society that is actually on the ground, that's making other types of decisions, maybe not in the political process at this point, their minimal existence. So if they're not participating in these, they're not part of the negotiations, then you're missing out on a lot of what half of the society, half of Syrians can give you. When women are present, somehow there is more peace. When women are present, there is more reconciliation. When women are present, they actually accomplish more. As much as women are portrayed as the emotional ones who are incapable of dealing with hard stuff, they are the ones who are practically on the ground feeding the children and making sure things are going, making sure that their schools are still, that they are still teaching their children, that they're waking up every morning and going about their daily lives trying to survive the day. Women's existence at a table, women's existence at any of the peace negotiations is actually empowering the Syrians as a whole.
A youth advocate from Ghana is urging African governments to prioritize the sexual and reproductive rights of the continent's young people. Asanam Amuzu represents a nonprofit called Dance for Life, which empowers young people to protect their health and promote safe sexual choices. She took part in the latest session of the UN Commission on Population and Development, or CPD, held this month in New York. Joseph Msami asked Asanam about her work and the importance of participating in the UN meeting.
It really has so many importance. First of all, the UN is an establishment where so many countries are affiliated to, and decisions of the UN translate really into policies and decisions of various countries. So CPD, talking also about population and development issues, it is important because at the end of the day, whatever decision here is going to affect everybody worldwide.
What's your organization doing in the grassroots as far as sexual reproductive health is concerned?
My role with my organization as Dance for Life is really to do consultations at the grassroots level with young people. That is where we get the real stories of these young people and their realities, their needs actually, and then we are able to use them at the negotiation space like the UN and then present them to the policymakers, because these are all policies we are fighting for, that young people's sexual reproductive health and rights should be a priority for all. Not because it's just something they should have, but it's a right, actually, a human right for a young person.
As a young girl advocate in Ghana, what are the main challenges to achieve the goals with regard to sexual reproductive health?
I think the main challenge for some time has been lack of information. I would say that also because of the culturally sensitive environment of Ghana, we hold so high our morals, we hold so high our religion, but gradually we are kind of breaking those barriers.
What's your advice to African governments?
My advice to African governments is to invest more in young people. Let me quickly talk about Africa and how currently experiencing a youth bulge as a continent poses a very great opportunity for us to reap positive demographic dividend. But how can we do that unless we do the right investment? And until we make that conscious effort to invest, especially in the sexual and reproductive health, because it forms a direct linkage to us reaping demographic dividend. So my call on them is to prioritize issues of young people when it comes to sexual and reproductive rights. If we don't make the right investment, then certainly we should be ready to reap the wrong ones or the effects of not making those investments.
A new campaign in Mexico City aims to combat a touchy subject, sexual harassment on public transportation. A recent national survey found that nearly 90% of women feel unsafe on buses and subways. Faced with these alarming figures, UN Women, in partnership with the city government, launched the campaign, hashtag No Es de Hombres, which translates as, "This is not what being a man is about," promoting what the agency says is a more respectful form of masculinity. Ana Carmo has been speaking to Yeliz Osman, Safe Cities and Safe Public Spaces Program Coordinator at UN Women in Mexico.
I think Mexico City is no different to other cities around the world. Sexual violence and harassment is an everyday occurrence for women and girls. Studies show that 50% of women have experienced a form of community violence, which is violence, sexual violence experience in public spaces. So I think that Mexico City, like all cities in the world, has a huge problem in relation to sexual violence and harassment. And the forms of sexual harassment that we're trying to tackle through this campaign have been so normalized and naturalized within societies that women themselves don't often consider them important enough to report. Men don't even realize in many cases that this is actually a form of violence and that the impact that it has on women and girls. So basically the aim of the campaign was to raise awareness of the impact of these forms of violence on women and girls and to generate empathy in the hope that we can create change in male attitudes and behavior.
I do believe there's a lot of fear involved when we talk about sexual harassment in public transportation. And one of the studies that you mentioned in the press release says that 87.7% of women feel unsafe in public transport. How do you feel that this fear can affect the daily lives of these women and their participation in society?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the fear, I mean, women's perceptions of their safety in Mexico City, as in many cities in the world, I think this fear can impact on their day-to-day lives and impact on their decisions to go out at night, whether they want to take part in leisure activities. In some cases, women have to change the way they dress. They need to go out accompanied by other people, and that's simply not acceptable. Women should be free to move around, to go to work, to go to school, you know, to take part in leisure activities, free from the fear of constant harassment and violence.
Do you think it is a cultural issue, the fact that men feel entitled to look and to behave in these ways around the world?
Absolutely. I don't think it's a cultural issue that's limited to any country or region in the world. I think it's a cultural issue worldwide that it's socially acceptable and tolerated that men behave in this way. It's almost considered a natural part of male behavior. And the aim of this campaign is to transform this notion that it's natural.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Deanne Penn.